Reading Psalms chapter 118, verse 22 through 24. The cornerstone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is good to be with you and a blessing in my life to be back with you. David had contacted me about a month ago, planning on a vacation to get away and asked whether I might be available. And so here I am. I understand there's another time. Well, maybe I'm not to say this, but I understand there's another time in November. So I'll return then. You might be surprised. I don't know where David's going to be, so anyway, we'll be back with you. I want to invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 7, the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. When they were introducing me this morning, they mentioned the idea of a connection that I had with the Glenpool congregation back in the 80s. It actually was a time in which Don Branscombe was here. This lot was completely bare. There was a mobile unit that was just in one corner of the property. And I had moved actually to be with the 29th and Yale congregation after serving as a youth minister in Broken Arrow. And it was a time during the One Nation Under God campaign, if some of you might remember that. I was responsible for working those contacts through that period of time. And interestingly enough, there were some contacts out here in Glenpool, which made me in contact with Don. And you might also find an interesting fact about that time in the 80s. The average age of the Glenpool area was 27 years old. Isn't that amazing to think about that? And so one thing led to another. We actually put a tent out on the property and did a tent meeting, preached a tent meeting during that time. The thing that I remember about the tent meeting was there was a black cat that meandered in among the people who were at the meeting. And they had paid no attention to me. They paid attention to the black cat that was meandering around through the crowd. So that kind of gives you a little background that that exists there. I want to share two stories with you this morning that actually Luke shared. And you realize that the Gospel of Luke was actually written for Theophilus, who was a friend and contact of Luke. And he wrote this gospel to express to him and to share with him who Jesus was. So the first story is actually in the first part of Luke chapter 7. And you can follow along. I'll be reading in the New International Version this morning. And we'll read through verse 17. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued very highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some of the elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal the servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went to them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found his servant. Okay, I'm not advancing here. I'm jumping all around, aren't I? I want you to draw your attention to verses 6 through 8 this morning as we think about this centurion. And also to realize that this centurion is a Gentile, which the Jews had great difficulty with, but Jesus did not. I want you to notice what he says. He, Jesus, was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you." One thing I've underlined, the other thing I did not. Did you notice his statement? He says, "I do not deserve to have you come to my house." The other is, "I did not consider myself worthy." I don't know about you and the contacts with your friends that you have and their thoughts of themselves in regard to the idea of their relationship with God. But I found that people often feel as though they are not worthy. I find that they feel as though that they do not deserve to even have any attention from Jehovah God at all. The interesting thing about this concept of a word that comes with this is the idea of not deserving effort or attention or respect. My question would be, why? Sometimes when I come in contact with people who feel unworthy, I ask them when we have conversation about the idea of why they don't believe that God would pay attention to them or that God would be interested in them. Maybe it's the idea of a person's action or behavior not being acceptable to God, especially someone of good reputation or social position, right? It also speaks about the idea of having little value or merit. Maybe we ought to coin it in the idea of having very poor self-esteem. But something's happened. Something's happened in their life. You know, as you consider the idea of being unworthy, perhaps all of us have felt that response at some time within our life. Maybe it's even the fact that you even come today and you feel unworthy to be here. I want to tell you, Luke is sharing this story because the focus is not upon the servant that he healed, but it's upon the centurion. Yesterday, I did the ceremony, wedding ceremony for one of my twin daughters. This is her second marriage. You see, her husband came to her and said, "I don't love you anymore." She had two teenage sons, and it was devastating. The struggle that felt with that, the idea of what has happened that I don't deserve this, or the idea that I'm not worthy in regard to his love. Well, people can approach that with the idea of God himself. things that have happened in regard to life, or the idea that they can have the feeling that God doesn't love me anymore because of something that happened within life itself. You know, that story can be played out in so many ways. For our young kids who, they divide up and they choose a captain and they're not chosen as captain. They start picking teams, and as they pick teams, they're not the first ones that are chosen, but perhaps even the last one that's chosen. And you develop this complex with the idea that, you know, what's wrong with me? Or the idea that I'm not deserving, or that I'm not being seen at all. If somehow or another you relate to the idea of not being unworthy this morning, please don't tone this out. Please understand that Luke is trying to tell Theophilus, who is a Gentile. For the Jews have always told him that he wasn't worthy or he couldn't be respected by God, but he was an outcast. But Luke is writing this story for Theophilus. Maybe he's writing this story for you this morning. I mentioned the idea that my daughter's first husband said, "I don't love you anymore." But I need to say to you, we pray for him that he might come back to Christ. Maybe you've been on the other side of the coin. Maybe you've been like our daughter's husband, somehow or another, who made this choice or decision that just developed in chaos. Can I say to you that God loves you? Can I say to you that God desires you to understand your worth in his presence once again? That even though things have been destroyed in the past, God still loves you. God still cares about you. God still desires a relationship with you. The story that Luke gives goes on. It says, "But say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, he goes. I tell that one, come, he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." This is not a man who does not have his life put together. This is not a man who is not a leader. I mean, he has accomplished many things within his life, and yet he is the one who is saying to Jesus, "I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy for you to come. Just say." And then I want you to notice what Jesus does. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Even among the Jews, I've not found such great faith. Gentiles felt the outcast of being Gentiles from the Jews. Have you felt being outcast? Whatever the situation is, have you ever felt being outcast? Have you felt unworthy and undeserving? I want you to notice this word that Jesus used. Thaumatō is to the idea to wonder, to marvel, to be struck with admiration and astonishment. Jesus, when he heard these words from the centurion, was amazed. But not just amazed. His attention was drawn to him with the idea of admiration and astonishment. In Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2, this verse stands out because you realize that in chapter 66, God is once again redeeming Israel. God is once again drawing Israel back to itself because Israel had sinned, turned his back on God, had done things that were not acceptable before God. And listen to this verse. These are the ones I look to with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. This idea of amazed is to regard with pleasure and have respect. You see, it's not about the slave. The story is not about the slave for Theophilus. It's about the centurion who was a Gentile. It was unacceptable before the Jews, but had faith. Can I tell you this morning that you can have faith even in the midst of feeling unworthy? But even more than that, it is the idea that Jesus invites you to faith. Jesus invites you above the concept of being unworthy to just bowing before his presence and seeing him for who he really is. God actually delights in those who live by faith. And I can tell you this morning, even if you feel unworthy, you can still live by faith. You can still believe in Jesus. You can still be drawn to God. And you might have to stop listening to the voices, perhaps that sometimes are around you. Voices that express the idea that you're not acceptable. I'm telling you, God says you are acceptable through Jesus Christ. There ought to be some amends to that, right? You are acceptable through Jesus Christ. But you know, the interesting thing about this is I want you to imagine. Imagine what would truly happen if we let go of our attitude and feeling of unworthiness. Maybe I want to challenge you with that. Maybe you somehow or another you just need to take a picture of this, or you need to plan it within your mind somehow or another. If we allowed our faith to overrule our doubts about ourselves, what would that look like? I want you to consider, we're going to go to another story, okay? Look back at Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. Because Luke follows up the story of the centurion with this story. He says, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier that was being carried on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. I want you to consider this story because Luke tells this story right after the centurion. It's a continuation of a thought that continues to carry through this chapter and actually has been carried through for Luke's story to Theophilus. Here was a town called Nain. It was a Gentile town. Jesus is traveling. He sees this lady who has lost her son. Now, did Jesus know? Did Jesus No, you know that he was going to run to this lady on occasion? We don't have any idea. Did the lady ask him to raise her son? We have no evidence of that. All we have evidence is the fact that Jesus saw this. And as he saw it, he began to reach out. And I don't know what you do when mothers cry over a lost son. But it causes sometimes tears. It causes a heartache. It causes the idea, I wish I could do something. And Jesus did. Can I tell you this? I think Jesus wants to do something in your life. Jesus knows the heartache. He knows the struggle. Perhaps he knows the unworthiness that somehow or another has been experienced because of hurt or trauma or tragedy within your life. And so here's this mother, her only son, she was a widow. It was tough for her to make a living and to support her son and to raise her son in that time. She said nothing. And Jesus' heart went out to her. And the question is, what do you do with the compassion of Jesus? It doesn't tell us that there was compassion in a centurion story, but there was because he healed a slave. The faith of centurion in regard to what Jesus was capable of doing or what he heard that Jesus was capable of doing didn't allow him to go. But did you notice he sent the elders of the synagogue? He had received the respect of the elders of the synagogue. So they went and they said he's deserving. I think there's a couple lessons that we learn from these two stories. And often we divide the two stories away from each other. We tell this story and this story, but they go together in Luke. They go together for Theophilus. Most excellent Theophilus, a Gentile, is welcomed by Jesus to the Father, to God the Father. Your friends, your acquaintances, my friends, my acquaintances need to realize that they are always invited to Jesus. Is that my words? Are those my words? Is that the example of my life? Or do I cast upon the one who feels undeserving and unworthy, do I cast upon them more of a burden to lower them down and force them down even further? Brothers and sisters, we ought to be the inviters to Theophilus, to come to Jesus and to know him. But the other question is, what do you get when men's faith and the compassion of Jesus collide? I want you to realize this morning. And the whole reason for this lesson, the whole reason, not that I have brought it to you, but that Luke has brought it to us. And it's for all of us. And what you get when that comes is God's favor. You remember the Isaiah passage? You get God's favor, but you also get the power that is released in our lives and in our community. We are the light. We are the light that goes out into the world. I should have put up here what Paul said to the Corinthian church, that our weaknesses are no struggle for God. We have this power presented to us in earthen vessels that the power of God might be seen through us. Our weakness, our unworthiness is no struggle for God. But he invites us to come in faith. And sometimes in our unworthiness and in feeling as though that we don't deserve anything, we just hold ourselves back. But Jesus invites us to come to him. No matter how unworthy you may feel, Jesus can meet you where you are. I believe this as well, that in any place where the church gathers together, if there's anyone who understands the power of God in their lives, it is us. It is this family. And we realize what we've been forgiven of. We realize how Christ has picked us up out of darkness into his light. And so I will ask you this morning, will you come to meet Jesus this morning? Because Luke has expressed to us who Jesus is. And as the centurion was going, he asked Jesus. As the widow was going, she didn't ask Jesus, but Jesus was present. And Jesus was willing. And Jesus will restore your life. He will restore our lives and give us worthiness. You see, this whole lesson is the idea of discovering worthiness. Maybe this morning you've heard just a little glimpse of the stories about Jesus, just a little bit of the story about Luke's gospel. If you just stay with Luke's gospel and you just read, you understand that Luke continues to reveal to Theophilus who Jesus is. I invite you to come back. Come back all the time. Sit down with the Gospel of Luke and read it. But you know what happens sometimes in our unworthiness? We listen to a voice that comes from darkness. A darkness that wants to hold us back. A darkness that always wants us to convince us that we ought to remain quiet. We ought to remain in the shadows. We ought to remain with our doors and windows closed. We ought to remain isolated and separated. But Jesus invites us into the light. I want to invite you into the light this morning. Because that's what Luke does. You might say to yourself, well, I don't know where I go from here. I'll tell you what, it's a better place than where you're at. Because Jesus gives us the entire meaning of our lives. Is it time to get rid of the darkness? May it be an amen. If you need to come, won't you come as we stand and sing?